Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. We're continuing our study in this chapter. Let's take a look at verse 5 through 7. "Then the devil taketh him," Jesus, "into the holy city, which is Jerusalem, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Heavenly Father, please help us to understand your word. I'm asking you, help me to teach it by all means. Give us understanding by all means, but our desire tonight is to understand what thus saith the Lord. Jesus answered the devil and said, "It is written." Well, help us to understand it. Help us to be good Bereans and workmen that to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Lord, we praise you and we worship you and we glorify your name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've gone through a bit of this. There were three temptations. And last time we said that in 1 John 2, verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." We said that this paralleled Eve's temptation. And again, we went through all of this last time, and I don't want to go through it again, but I want to take a look at a couple of things to finish out this section of this chapter. The previous temptation, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread," and the one after it, like this one, Jesus answered from the Word of God. He said, "It is written." It is written. You know, we have the Word of God, and I've told this before. I have a Bible in front of me. I have one on my Droid. I have one on my laptop. I got another laptop. I got a Bible on that. I got three or four at home. Got a computer at home. Got a Bible on that. I'm a computer consultant. I've got servers here and there. I got Bibles on every one of my servers. Got Bibles, more Bibles than I could possibly make use of. And probably you have the same thing, Bible on your iPhone or whatever. Some of you have different translations of the Bible. I am a King James preacher. I read King James. I think and quote King James. That's what I know. There are other translations. I happen to prefer this one. But my point is that we have all these Bibles, but how many times do you read them per week or per month? Bibles sit, gather dust. We take them to church. The man says, turn to the 42nd chapter of Psalms, and you do, and you close it when you're done, and, well, the next time it's open is the next time you go to church. You know, I'm not trying to say that I'm better than anyone else. I have trouble reading the Bible. Through the years, I've tried to read, and it's difficult, and I understand. And sometimes I don't read nearly enough. But we have God's Word from heaven. God at times spoke from the mountain, from a fiery cloud on the mountain, to the people. Jesus himself came down. God from heaven came down and spoke. In the next chapter we have the Sermon on the Mount. We have newspapers. We have commentators. I like to read my news and commentary on the web. You might listen to the radio or television news, what have you. We have people talking about gardening. We have people talking about nutrition. We have people talking about everything. Everybody's got a message. But God has a message. You know, before they invented medicine, before they invented perhaps computer tips on Saturday afternoon, that woman that has that show, before they invented all of this stuff, God had his word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, from the beginning, man had opportunity to hear the word of God. And too often we don't. We don't hear, we don't read, we don't meditate on the word of God, we don't rely upon it. We get into a jam and the first thing we do is, I don't know, maybe listen to Oprah. What does Oprah say to do? Or maybe we call Uncle for advice or whatever. We ought to go to the Bible for advice. That's my point. We ought to go to the Bible. If your computer breaks, we'll call a computer guy. But if your soul breaks, we'll call the soul guy, which is Jesus Christ. Bible doesn't talk about, well, I guess it's a couple of laws here and there about gardening in Leviticus, but it's not a gardening reference. It's not an engineering reference. It's not a medical reference or anything like that. It doesn't pretend to give advice on all of those things, but in the realm of the soul and spiritual things, this is the only source that matters. This is the only reference that matters. We ought to trust in the Bible. We ought to know it. Again, when Jesus was tempted, he said, hey, I got an answer. It is written. I mean, I read it in the Bible. God said this or God said that. When you or I are tempted, we should go to the Bible. I don't know how to stress this more. We need to know the Bible better. We need to memorize maybe certain verses. We need to be in Bible class or Sunday school or something. We need to know the Bible because we will need it. We will need it. And all we have to do is look in the newspaper to see the results of people not depending upon God. But like I said, you need to know what it says for yourself. Jesus answered the temptations by saying, it is written. But then Satan comes and says, oh yeah? Well, I got an it is written too. And he quoted Psalm 91. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. That's the Bible, right? That's Psalm 91, isn't it? Yes and no. I'm going to turn to it. I'm going to read it. And we're going to compare what Psalm 91 actually says and what the devil claimed that it said. Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, that says a little bit more than what the devil claimed it was. To keep thee in all thy ways. God sends his angels. I guess you can say that we have guardian angels. I don't quite understand all of it, but it says that he shall give his angels charge over thee. Whatever that means, I know that God is looking out for each one of us. But it's to keep us in all our ways, or rather, in all of God's ways. God helps us, sends angels perhaps, for a purpose, to keep us in the ways of God. Satan said, look, you know, cast yourself down, because the angels have charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in their hands. Yeah, but he forgot the most important thing. And that's that God attempts to keep us walking in his ways. So, it's important to know the Bible. To know what it actually says, not what they said it says. And let me say, I'm saying what it says. I'm a preacher, I'm saying what the Bible says. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Don't take my word for it. The Bereans in Acts, it says that the Bereans were more noble than anyone else because they said, hey, Paul, that's a good sermon, man. Thank you, Reverend, etc., etc. But look, let me see that Bible. You've been preaching out of that Bible. I want my own Bible. Or maybe I can borrow yours for a minute. I want to verify that what you said is actually what it says. I want to make sure that you're giving it out straight. I want to make sure that you're interpreting it correctly. I mean, I believe you and, you know, we had a great service and etc., but let me see that Bible. Paul mainly had the Old Testament, and there was an epistle here or there that was floating around, but they went to the Old Testament. Everything in the New Testament can be found, at least in a stem fashion, in the Old Testament. That's an interesting point. What Bible did they have? But James, in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's exactly what Jesus did. He submitted himself to the Father. I mean, he was in the wilderness because the Spirit led him there. And we understand that the Father, that was his purpose. Later on, 3.5 years later, he said, Father, not my will but thine. Let this cup of death pass from me. I don't want to die. I don't want to go to the cross. Nevertheless, not my will but thy will be done. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. As we said, Jesus was tempted. I'm tempted. You're tempted. Everyone's tempted. Sinners are tempted. Somebody said, I can resist anything except temptation. But you know, there's the witness of a changed life. How do you know someone's a Christian? Because he says, well, that's part of it. Because he goes to church, that's part of it. But when a sinner stops going to the bar, he starts going to church, he stops cussing, he starts praying perhaps. There's the witness of a changed life. and that testimony of trying to live right, trying to do the right thing, trying to be a good person, I suppose, that's resisting the devil. Somebody said when the devil knocks on the door, get Jesus to answer it. In other words, try to live for God. Try to answer like Jesus did with the Word of God. Hey, you want to go out? We're going to go do this and that and all the stuff, you know, we used to do and everything. And you should say, well, no, you know, I be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Answer with the Word of God. 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You may be strong on Sunday. You may still be strong on Monday. Tuesday afternoon, the devil comes knocking and you forgot all about church. You know, we had a great time in church and we sang and etc. and we prayed and I got filled, you know, filled up. My batteries recharged, etc., but kind of run down. If you read your Bible, you won't run down as fast. But the devil is out there. Now, we can look at the temptations that Jesus had. Maybe they're the same temptations that we have. Maybe they're not. I mean, he wasn't tempted, for instance, with drugs. He wasn't tempted with going to the bars. He wasn't tempted with women, etc. But still, the answer is the same. It's to look to the Bible and to trust in God and to resist the devil by saying, no, I don't want to go to the bars. I want to live right. Oh, and the last verse there that I wanted to read, verse 9 in 1 Peter chapter 5, talking about the roaring lion, Satan, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Everybody is tempted. Everybody is afflicted. But stand fast. God can help you. God can see you through. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you keep your eyes on the Lord, if your treasure is in heaven, then you won't be thinking about, man, I wonder what we can go do on Saturday night. Walk in the Spirit. Spend time in prayer. Spend time reading the Bible and thinking about perhaps what the preacher said on Sunday morning or something. Spend time in heavenly things. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And to close it out, Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Man, I got saved and water baptized and I started going to Sunday school and whatever. And you know, they had me out. We went feed the homeless. And we did that, you know, last couple of weeks and it was great. But then I went by the lakefront and, well, somebody had a joint and, well, you know, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. If you walk away from the things of God, you will die spiritually. Your Christianity, that's great, but you'll drift away. You need to be sober and vigilant, as Peter said. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit, and God will help you by His Spirit if you want to live for Him. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Mortify. We know what a mortician is. He prepares the body for burial. You know what a mortuary is? That's where they keep the bodies. So the word mortify, we understand, has to do with death. For if you through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Everybody has passions, everybody has lusts, everybody has temptations, but we need to put to death those thoughts, those actions. Maybe you ought to just not go by the lakefront and hang out with those guys some more, and you won't end up with a joint in your hands, or whatever the case may be. If you don't go to the bar, you won't be tempted to drink and do other things. Mortify, put to death the deeds of the body. If you make an attempt to live for God, ye shall live. You'll have a prosperous life in the Lord. You'll be a victorious Christian. But it's up to you to decide, I want to live for God, or I want to give in to the pleasures and lusts of the flesh. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Help us to understand it and give us power to obey it. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Without some hurt, some pain, and you can't live in sunshine always. Sometimes it rains, but God knew every step you'd take, each valley you'd go through, and He chose long ago to walk with you through every storm. God will somehow take you safely without harm, though at times you may feel frightened and alone.
And carry you through it.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.